Saheed, do you want to let me know when we can start the recording?
Let's go ahead and start the recording, please. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, former NomCom colleagues in the audience and others as well. Thank you for being here. We are basically going to present to you a current status of where the NomCom's process currently stands, give you a little bit of introduction of what we are as well, tell you what the deadlines are for those who may be interested in applying through the nominating committee. I'll explain what we are, by the way, for the newcomers coming in a second as well. And then we will talk about certain improvements we've tried to implement in our processes this year. We think they're good. We could be wrong. You can tell us better. So on my left, I'm joined by the chair-elect, hopefully the chair for next year, Mr. Damon Ashcraft. And on my right, I'm joined by Hans-Petter Holden, who was the chair last year. He's this year's associate chair. I'll let them introduce themselves a little more. Why don't you go ahead, Damon?
Okay, thank you very much, Saheed. My name is Damon Ashcraft, and I am pleased to be your chair-elect. And this is my third term on the NomCom. And I'm going to go ahead and start off our slides. And basically, we're going to be filling several different positions. The agenda for today is I'm going to discuss the key leadership positions that we're going to be filling this year, geographic diversity and gender balance, important question of how do you apply the timeline, improvements, and then we're also going to take a Q&A session from the room. Let's talk a little bit about the structure of the nominating committee. You see the majority of us here on the table in front of you. Basically, the leadership is composed of three non-voting members. There is the chair, which is Saheed. Then there is the chair-elect, which is myself. We are both selected by the board. And then there's the associate chair, which is Hans-Petter. Saheed, as the chair, selects the associate chair. In addition to that, we have seven people from the GNSO. We have one from the registrar stakeholder group, from the registry stakeholder group. The business users constituency has two, one for small business, one for large business. And I'll introduce, we have Jay, who's our small business representative right here as well. Our large business representative is Cheryl Miller, and she is not here today. In addition to that, we also have the non-commercial users constituency. They have a representative. We have the internet service providers constituency with a representative, and the IPC, intellectual property constituency, they have a representative. Also have a representative from the CCNSO, and the at-large advisory committee, or the ALAC, they have a total of five representatives, one for each geographic region that they represent. We also have two advisory members that are non-voting but are to advise us as we make our selections. We have one from the SSAC, and we have one from the RSAC as well. You'll notice on the slide there's a slot for a member from the Government Advisory Committee, or GAC. The GAC this year, per their typical history, is they have not filled that selection, but it is available for subsequent years on the NomCom. Let's talk about a little bit about what are the positions that we're going to be filling this year. It's going to be a busy year for us. We're going to be filling three seats on the ICANN Board of Directors. Those are three-year terms. By the way, the total number of seats that the NomCom is responsible for is eight, so we'll be filling roughly half of our selection this year. In addition to that, we'll be filling a seat on the GNSO. We'll be filling two seats on the ALAC, and with respect to the ALAC, keep in mind that there are some geographic limitations on those. We're just looking for a member, one from Europe and one from North America, and we're also looking for a person to sit on the CCNSO this year as well. All right, and then I'm going to turn it over to the Associate Chair, Hans-Petter.
Well, thank you very much. So what you see here is a slide addressing one of the topics that's been discussed a lot the last year, gender balance in the ICANN positions. So my main message here is that if you want to see a better gender balance, you need to get your applications in so that the NOMCOM gets a good balance of applications in the pool so that they can actually choose from them. And no, I lost my slide, so I have no idea what's on the next one.
Slides. Sorry, just to the folks at the back, could we get the slides up, please, from the technical people? We were running some slides that have disappeared.
So I can talk in the meantime. So what you could see is that we had an increase of women applicants from 2016 to 2017 from 19% to 36%. And looking at what the NOMCOM did with those candidates was... Could I have the next slide, please?
Next slide, please.
Oh, clicker don't work, so... Okay, so out of the candidates, you can see that in 2016, 29% of the candidates selected were women, and last year actually 50% of the candidates selected are women. So I would say that from a total population of the world of 50-50 last year, the NOMCOM did a pretty good job. But it's important that you actually help us to get... a really diverse pool to select from. It's not only about men and women, it's about getting good applicants from all regions of the world and with the right skill sets. This is difficult. So looking at the current board composition, you can here see the different board members from the different regions. And you can see the small frames around them. So the light blue frames were the NOMCOM, where the board members seated last year. And the yellow and brown grayish are the ones that are leaving this year. So the brown gray ones, they are term limited, so they can't be re-elected. But the yellow ones can actually are not term limited, so they can be re-elected if they apply again. So the NOMCOM reps that are up for the seats that are up is the one currently seated with Luzuis from Europe, and then George Sadowski from North America, and. Lito from from Latin America, and the NOMCOM has a task to ensure that there is at least one candidate from each region, so that will not be a problem this year, and a maximum of 5 candidates from each region. So depending a bit on what's happening with the CCNSO appointment. There may be a limitation, and the ASO appointment, there may be a limitation that the NOMCOM can't appoint a person from North America because there can't be 6. But other than that, you can see here that from Asian Pacific regions, there are only 2 candidates. From Latin America and Caribbean Islands, there are only 2 board directors currently. So getting applicants to help us to get applicants from those regions to the board, that's really important for us. Okay, so then how can you help us? You can go to the NOMCOM webpage, and on the NOMCOM webpage there is a form where you can submit your expression of interest. So this is a 2-stage process. You first have to go in there and say that I'm interested, and then there is a manual process behind the scenes where a form is prepared for you, and you can fill in your statement of interest, as it's called, your application, in that web form. The deadline to apply is 19th of March, so you don't have that much time left. And then there is a grace period, so you can actually complete your application after the 19th of March for roughly a week. And if you don't want to apply yourself, would want to suggest any of your friends or colleagues or somebody you know, there is a separate form there that you can actually suggest candidates for us, and then we will contact the candidates and ask them to apply.
One last one. This one, and then I'll go to the next.
You want me to talk about this one as well? Okay, so this is the nominating committee timeline, and that timeline is roughly the same every year. So we are now in March in the ICANN 61, and what we've been doing up until now is to prepare the whole process, get everybody on the NOMCOM up to speed, because everybody on the NOMCOM is appointed for 1 year at a time, maximum of 2 years. So it's really important that we actually prepare to get everybody up to speed on how we're going to run this process. Then we've done outreach to get applications in, and that application period ends just after this meeting on the 19th. Then between March and June, we will assess the applications and go through them and end up in Panama interviewing the board candidates and discussing the other candidates and make our final selections. And what's new this year is that in previous years, we've used to do a due diligence after we've made our final selection. This year, we will move the due diligence before we make our final selection and make that investigation part of the selection criteria. So those are independent investigators who actually checks the background, the CVs and criminal records and other things that's important if you're going to be a board member on a Californian non-profit organization. And that will be part of the decision from the NOMCOM that we have this information before the decision is made. And then this means also that we can then make the announcements shortly after the Panama meeting so that the candidates can then get in touch with the board and the others to get introduced to the board work even earlier than previous years.
Thank you, Damon. Thank you, Hans-Petter. So basically, for those who might be absolutely new to the ICANN process and coming in, we basically are the group that appoint people which aren't elected from the community per se. And we're a group of individuals who get together, are supposed to check our agendas or our, you know, whoever we're coming from at the door and decide to act in the community's best interest, choosing folks to the board or to other SOAs, as you've noticed, to basically find people who can provide diversity or provide people from outside, etc., and would be good for the community. So what we're trying to basically do at this meeting right now is to see if there are folks who would like more information, for instance, about how to apply. I'll give you an example of a misunderstanding that became clear to us after speaking to some of the candidates who've been through the process. So let me give you an example of that so I can clarify that for the community at large if people are confused about this. Folks thought, for instance, that if you want to apply for the one slot of the GNSO Council, some people actually thought that you've got to have something to do with the GNSO. So absolutely not true. You could be anybody. Number two, they thought that maybe you needed a recommendation from the GNSO Council, and that's why we would select you. Again, absolutely not true. You could be, the whole purpose is to look at anybody, whether they are from the community, from outside the community, and we actually make an effort to hire a recruitment firm that goes out, for instance, looking for board members who have absolutely nothing to do with the community. A lot of the board members who have been actually appointed have been folks who have come fresh from outside the community but with great experience and expertise. So the same thing goes for the ALAC, the At-Large Advisory Committee positions. It doesn't mean that you need to belong to the ALAC, have had interacted with the ALAC, or have provided some references, or you've been approved by the ALAC. This, you can apply directly, and we will look at your applications. We will assess them if we think that they are appropriate and they meet the criteria. We will definitely select those kind of sort of individuals. A couple of people are nodding their heads in the audience who have actually gone through exactly that process. The same is true for the CCNSO Council. And I think I need to underscore this aspect regarding the CCNSO. In fact, if you belong to a CCTLD, you are not a good person to apply for this slot. The whole purpose of the NOMCOM appointment to the CCNSO slot for the council is so that people who are not affiliated or have worked for or involved in CCTLD management as a matter of diversity get onto the council, and that's what we're trying to find. So we're looking for people who would be interested, who have a little bit of technical background, who we think would be helpful in providing diversity, experience, expertise, and skills that don't have to come from that community or have approval of that particular slot. I hope that helps, because this seemed to be obvious to a lot of us, but it became clear by speaking to some folks that is not necessarily the case, and so we wanted to be more clear on it. Again, the deadline is really, really near. 19th of this month is when you need to get your applications in, and then you have a grace period, well, your expressions of interest in, and then after that you have till the 26th to fill those applications up, and then that deadline sort of closes, and those applications are then provided to us for assessment, and we go through to the assessment process. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open it up to questions from the audience. Feel free to ask. Yes, please, come to the mic. Ask anything you want. Ask us about our own processes. Ask about the work we're going to do this year. Anything you wish. Please, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Jared Best, I'm from the Caribbean. At the start of the session, I think you mentioned that one of the points that you would want to touch on and clarify is what the NOMCOM is and what we do. I'm not sure if I missed it, but I didn't catch it.
No, I'm glad that you asked that question. I'll tell you why. We were having this conversation the other day, and we were looking at our own literature, and we use abbreviations, and the word NOMCOM or nominating committee may be something that in the U.S. is known, but I come from outside the U.S., and we've never heard of it. What is a NOMCOM? Well, so what happens is that when boards want to fill board member seats, usually in not-for-profit and other places, they say, well, who's going to go out and recruit these people and find these sort of individuals, generally? And so a committee is formed to go find people and put them or select them onto, say, a board. In the same fashion, ICANN has decided to create this nominating committee of folks who basically are individuals who are, as let's look at the composition, coming from the various... Did I miss it? Oh, I think we missed it. Let me show you again. Yeah, there we go. Who are basically delegates or liaisons coming from different parts of the existing committee, and everybody sends one delegate. So the GNSO will send one liaison will come from the SSAC, and these people get together in a room, closed meeting, and say, okay, so there are slots of board member seats, for instance, that are open for us to just select and appoint people. No election, no politics. We look at CVs and applications, and based on that, we decide whether this person is a good person to be on the board. Now, there are other seats where to get to the board, we call them SOs and ACs, and that means stakeholder groups or advisory groups, that they basically elect people on to those seats. So there are those seats which are where you get elected to be on it. And then there are certain seats that the nominating committee looks and says, this is a good person. I like the CV. You go through this sort of competitive process and then say, it's like a recruitment process, and you appoint them. And the same is true for appointments to the other slots, which is not just on the ICANN board, but the GNSO, the At-Large Advisory Committee, and the CCNSO. So what we are is the nominating committee whose task is to fill seats which are not elected seats, which are seats where we think good people should also be there on those seats. Does that help in explain what we are?
Thank you.
Anyone else?
You've, for seniors, gone through the process itself, some interesting results. My question is about those seats that are now up for re-election for the board, for example. Can you give any indication about if there's any sort of advantage or disadvantage for those people who are up for re-election compared to people coming straight in from the outside?
Well, the simple answer would be no. You will see on our website that we actually solicit advice from the committees and from the board. And what the board has told us now, when you look at the, not the age, but the tenure of the board member, is that it's a fairly young board. So from the sake of continuity, the advice we get from the board is to look carefully at that. Of course, the NOMCOM has asked the board for years. I've been on the NOMCOM now for 5 years, 2 years as a voting member, and then chair-elect chair and associate chair. We've constantly asked the board for evaluation so that we can evaluate the performance of the board members. We have a meeting with the board governance committee this year, this week, and we will repeat that question. So that's very important for the NOMCOM to actually get some good evaluation of the performance of the board members, and that will, of course, go into that. And the NOMCOM then have to balance this against getting outside expertise into the board, because then there is a need for competence in the board, and there may be other areas where there are lack of competence, and then there is it's up to the NOMCOM to sort of weigh these two against each other. So that was trying to be a politician and not answering that question.
Let me just, if I could add to what Hans-Petter said. Also, keep in mind that the NOMCOM, from experience over the last few years, you could have a NOMCOM that has a particular view about what they think they're going to want to do when they get into the selection process. And by the time they come, not only even to the final selection meeting, everything completely changes. Because when you actually meet the candidates face-to-face, or you evaluate applications in a deliberative style where you meet, you know, your own colleagues face-to-face to discuss it, things change quite a lot. And I think that's a good thing. Otherwise, paper would be the only thing you'd need. And one of the things we'll mention as a second part of this presentation or that we're going to give is what we've improved this year. One of the things we have improved is we don't think it's a good idea to just basically meet on conference calls and, you know, in short periods of time, take decisions on who to select. That's been sort of one of the things we had to do because of, you know, the fact that we didn't have that many meetings face-to-face. This year, we've been able to use our own budget. Again, this is very important to get clear. We're not getting new money from the board or anywhere else or from ICANN. We're using reallocating our own money to be able to sort of make sacrifices that leads to a meeting where we will meet face-to-face to actually look at every single candidate in a group, not sitting online. And we'll come to that in a second. So I hope that answers somewhat of your question, but please.
It definitely answers it. Thank you. But it leads to a follow-up question, if I'm allowed to. You said you actually asked the board for input. I'm right now on the sort of GNSO Council, and I am not aware of any advice being asked from the GNSO. So are you going to solicit that information or...
I'm really glad you asked that. We have in the past asked all those, let me use a generic word, those forums on which we do selections. So whether it's an AC or an SO, GNSO or CCNSO, we had asked questions. And if you have any feedback or any guidance, please give it to us. And there were years in which sometimes we asked, sometimes we didn't ask, sometimes we got a response, sometimes we didn't get a response. This year, what we did was that in the operating procedures themselves, which are, you know, usually we try to hopefully make sure that we're using the same one every year, but it's really up to the NOMCOM to decide what it uses. We've tried to put into it a line item that says that the NOMCOM will ask every single one of these organizations for their guidance. Now, that's not binding, right? Keep that in mind. It's not binding. And we've done that. Not only did we do that in our operating procedure this year, but we actually did reach out to every single one of them. And in fact, we did also reach out to the chair of the GNSO. At least those were our instructions to our staff. Now, whether the GNSO has responded, I am not clear that they have because I've not seen it. And if that means that maybe you, as someone who's involved in the GNSO, would like to expedite that process, I think that would be very helpful for us to know. So, yes, encourage you to do that. But we have not asked for evaluations of non-com appointees in past years from the GNSO or from other organizations. But we are insisting, as HP said, that this come from the board existing appointees.
Thank you. And I will touch base with Heather about that. Thanks.
Wonderful. I'm glad you will. We're looking forward to that. Thank you. Other questions? No, you're not allowed to actually ask a question.
I will ask a question. Stefan van Gelder, and may I first say what a pleasure it is to be participating in this meeting from this side of the room. I was unclear what you said about the gender diversity aspects, whether that was considered a prerequisite by this year's NomCom or one of the criterias that you'd be using to make your selections. In previous years, I believe the approach was that diversity aspects are important, but the most important aspect is skill set. Is that still something that this year's committee is using as an approach to its selections, or has that changed, in particular with the fact that this year you've had from the board instructions that were a bit more precise on gender diversity than in previous years?
I'm glad you asked that question. I'm sorry I'd missed that nuance when I talked about this. So, no, we're looking for qualifications and merit first and foremost. There are hard requirements in the bylaws for geographic diversity. That's why I touched on that. The only thing that I'm encouraging the community to do on to help us with the gender balance is to make sure that we have good people, good candidates of either gender in the pool. When they're in there, the committee had a discussion on this yesterday and was pretty clear that we will not put gender first over qualifications. Nobody would want to be on a board or a committee because they are a man or a woman. So we will select based on, or the committee was firm that they will put qualifications before gender. So what I'm doing is just talking about this as much as I can to encourage women to apply and to get your help to encourage women to apply, because if we don't have a diverse pool, we will not be able to make a diverse selection.
Let me just add one thing, and I know Damon wants to add something as well, which is that last year, if you look at the applications, right, we initially, when we received sort of 36% were women, which is higher than 2016, but I got to tell you that initially, at the same time this year, our application set from women was very, very low. And we, Hans Petter being chair last year, went out on, and the members also went out trying to find as many women who could apply. Because the pool got better, because more women applied, there were two board seats. Guess how many women got appointed to those two board seats? Two women. No men. That just tells you how important that factor was for the last year's NomCom. That is not to say they were appointed because they were women, because they were qualified women, of course. And so we're hoping that this year we'll have the same thing where we have more women apply so we can actually make sure that we don't have to worry about one or the other. We have qualified women, and so that's why they're appointed as well. So, Damon.
Thank you very much, Zahid. You actually touched upon one of the main points I wanted to make, is that when the percentage of women in the pool goes up, the likely result is the percentage of women that we select goes up. And that goes directly back to the people that apply. And we're not up here to sit behind a table and just review applications. Part of our job is to recruit and to do outreach. And so we're here. If you know of people that are interested or you think that should apply, please contact us so that we could perform that function and go out and recruit and talk to those people, particularly if they are women.
And people ask this question, is it appropriate for us to try and ask the chair or the chair-elect or the associate chair or a member of the NomCom to have a conversation with a prospective candidate? Because in some cultures they think, well, that's not fair because you're not supposed to talk to anybody until they've applied and you just stay away. That's not the case. We are currently still until the 19th, in fact, until the 26th of March in our outreach phase, which means that, and we have already done this with many candidates, if anybody wants to come and talk to us, if we feel we should be talking to folks, we actually actively engage in conversations, explain to them what the process is, and we've opened ourselves up to that, and we've asked our members to do exactly the same thing. So if you feel that, you don't be shy, just come up and talk to us. If you feel that maybe, look, you know, I think this is interesting, but I think I have this one aspect that I don't think would work for me, ask. Maybe we can explain that that's not a problem, maybe it's a strength. So feel free to come up and talk to any of us. And if you think there's somebody out there in the community who you'd suggest we reach out to because you think they may be useful for these roles, tell us. We will reach out to them. Any other questions?
Hi, I'm Krishna Kumar, originally from India, and I currently live in Germany. I'm part of the steering committee for the Youth Coalition on Internet Governance, and part of the job is to get more youth actively participate in Internet Governance. So my question is, you spoke about gender diversity and all that. I wanted to know if age is also a criteria, because from the pictures that you showed, I see that all of them are pretty old, and, you know, it'll be good to have more youngsters part of the committee, and, yeah, if age is a criteria that you would consider. That's my question. Thank you.
Where's Sebastian? Somebody find Sebastian. Anyway, I think you're right. There's no doubt about that, and that is a statistic we haven't actually... So somebody else who was working on these statistics was asked the same question from us. We actually had somebody come in yesterday to speak to the nominating committee about statistic analysis about diversity and other aspects related to the nominating committee and its appointment, and the board generally, not just us. So one of the things that was not sort of clear from the stats was, you know, what were the ages? Because it's difficult to actually know when a person was, you know, their date of birth is. It's sometimes not public information. And there's Sebastian. So is it a factor? No, it doesn't tend to be a factor. But I do think that when you're looking at expertise and skills, you tend to find it more in persons who are not 22, 24. Or if you're asking them to have expertise and experience on board and managerial skills and various other things, or you're expecting them to have diplomatic skills, political skills, or other things, you would expect that person to have a certain number of years of experience under their belt. So just per force of that, that has a sort of age dynamic. Now, that doesn't mean that we look at elderly or old people. You know, there have been very young appointees by the NOMCOM also in past years as well. So that answers your question. If you're qualified, we don't care how old you are.
I just wanted to stress one thing. Neither gender nor age is a criteria. And if you look at this map here, you will see that one of the NOMCOM's reps from Africa is younger than the average. Of course, somebody is younger than the average, though, but he was, I think, at least less than 30 when he was, or in his early 30s when he was appointed. And my initial reaction when I got asked these questions a couple of years back was that, but I'm one of the young people here. But then I realized that I've been here so long that I'm not anymore. So the only advice that I can give to you guys is the same thing that I did in the beginning of the 90s when I was involved in the numbers community, was step up and contribute. I mean, don't start at the board level, but start doing work in the committees and make yourself known to the community. Then your path ahead is based on merits and contributions. Is my advice.
Now, I was never a non-com appointee per se. I never took a position like that. But I can tell you that when I first sort of my first meeting in Delhi in 2009, the ICANN meeting was me coming just trying to understand what this organization was all about. And then very quickly thereafter, I applied to the nominating committee. And I can tell you that that process of applying was very helpful because that meant I had to understand how the organization worked because my application needed to show that to the extent it could. And so I think for young people trying to apply who want to understand, that's not a bad way to come in. If you tend to have a little bit of experience, you never know. There are other positions to which you might be selected to. At least you come into competition, people get to know about who you are. So I would encourage even those people who feel that maybe they're young or new to the community to apply.
Hello. Can you hear me? Sheila Yod from Uganda. My question was sort of similar to Krishna's. Sorry if I'm taking you back. I came in late.
Please go ahead. Don't worry about it.
In regards to the leadership positions, I was wondering if there are particular prerequisite conditions that you put into consideration. If there are, which ones in particular are there? You keep on talking about skills. Are there particular skills that are mandatory? Could you please provide clarity in regards to that?
Thank you. So let me just give you, because I don't want to go through all four of them, because all this information is actually on the website. Yeah. So if you go to nomcom. Let me see, where is the website? Just so people can take it down if they're interested. Let's see, where is the website address? you will see that something has changed this year. We're called nomcom.icann.org. Surprisingly, we used to be icann.org, nomcom 2017, 2018, whatever, and so we could never be found on searches. We always used to find the old one. This year, we've taken the decision to have a standard permanent website, nomcom.icann.org, and that's how it's going to be moving forward. So go to that site. Mm-hmm. You will find basically all the information regarding what the criteria are on that website, and you can read it. But to answer your question, to give you an instance, if you look at the position of the ICANN board, we have this year put onto the website a special document. Not that the skill sets or, let's say, what you were expected to do as a board member wasn't there earlier, but a job description specialized to let a person who wants to apply as a director understand what it will take, how much time it will take, what kind of qualifications they need to have, what kind of skill sets they need to have, all those sort of things, or what they would be willing to commit to is actually in that job description, and you can get it from the website. It's right there in the front on the first page. As an example, we would be looking at things like, are you a person who's able to, for instance, first of all, say, speak English, because that's the language that is used to basically interact on the board. Are you a person who has previous board experience, for instance, or managerial experience? Are you a person who has finance background, audit background, a governance background, or things of that nature? So those are the kind of things we're looking for. And people who are good at working in groups, collegially, and there's a very list of other things. We also have created a list of qualities and skill sets internally that we will be sort of matching against when we get an application. So a lot of the stuff's on the website. Go look at it, and it's there for all the positions. And if you need more information, if you think that, well, I'm not sure which one I fit into, come talk to us.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome. Anyone else? Nope. Okay. All right. So please feel free to apply or suggest candidates. The deadline is 19th March. There's a very limited time. So if you've got friends out there here at the ICANN or people you can email, please do so. Now we're going to get into a slightly different part of our presentation. And it's more to do with some of the discussions around the review of the NOMCOM that is taking place and what we've tried to do this year in implementing recommendations that have come in through past years and some which are new improvements that we think we've tried to improve our process with. So let me explain what I mean by with great responsibility comes no power. And the NOMCOM's destiny is predetermined before its birth. I'll explain why, because we come into existence every year and our what we're supposed to do and how we're budgeted is decided a year in advance. So we come in and are told, this is what you can do. That's all the money there is. And so that becomes an issue because we have to deal with that in our operations. And we go through this Groundhog Day, basically, where every year we have the same problem. Every year we can only appoint one recruitment firm or the same recruitment firm because the RFP or procurement process time limit doesn't allow it, those kind of things. So what has happened this year is, and then I'm just repeating, basically, you'll see that. So every year the NOMCOM is either too late to take actions to hire the recruitment firms or the budget. We can't decide our own budget. What do we do with the assessment firm? Maybe there's a little time there, but you definitely can't get them pre-qualified during that period. What our schedule is going to look like? We are the moment we are birthed, we're basically firefighting on timelines. How many meetings we can have, where we can have them, and basic operational planning is a challenge. So the staff creates and has to. It's not, it's just normal. They got to create the budget 11 months in advance so that ICANN can approve it. But we get birthed, 11 months later. So every NOMCOM comes in and is told that that's just the way it is. So this year, what we did as by way of improvements that we implemented, these are things we've done already, is that all decisions were literally taken because we did a lot of pre-planning and they were implemented on the first day. We forced partial budget reveal. That was the first time that we actually got some line items on what our budget is. We didn't know that earlier. And that was helpful because it helped us be able to be agile and do a few things which we wouldn't have been able to probably do otherwise. So we hired a second recruitment firm. We must thank ICANN and their procurement team and our staff and the finance, Xavier, for instance, who made it possible and understood why we thought that having the same recruitment firm again and again was not just, we need to expand our networks. They might not be reaching everybody in every part of the world or in every sector. We changed the assessment firm, for instance, which we were having year on year. And also the most important thing I think we've done, we consider this to be a major improvement, is to decide to have face-to-face intersessional meetings. And what that means is between this meeting and our final selection meeting in Panama, ordinarily we never met. We just had to do all our work, which is the actual selection and assessment process, online, which meant that folks had to sit on their computers and fill out basically ratings like a Survey Monkey between 1 to 5. You got a rating. We had a cutoff. Whoever was above that number basically got evaluated. Not that other people couldn't be brought up and discussed as well, but it has an impact. And we never met, but we used to have two-hour con calls, and at times, you can imagine, technology doesn't always work and doesn't work in every part of the world, so you can't hear each other, and people aren't able to participate as well. So we're basically recommending that there be a strategic budget meeting with leadership and the ICANN CFO and General Counsel annually, who, by the way, our staff reports to, at the end of the third meeting, at the end of, say, the Panama meeting, to plan ahead so we are strategically ready the moment the next NOMCOM comes into effect, and Damon, who's our chair-elect, will hopefully take over his chair. And again, you'll see that at the bottom I've said there's an enormous effort here and staff cooperation that led to us being able to get all of these achievements. If it hadn't been for that, I don't think we'd be here right now at least being able to implement those things. I mentioned this earlier. We have created a job description. By the way, what I mean by approved by experts is the board looked at it themselves. We said, well, this is what a job description for the board looks like. This is what we came up with. What do you think? Is this accurate? And there were a lot of different things that the board said, well, there's a couple of things here, the amount of time we spend, et cetera. Those edits were done. And based on that, we then finalized our job description. And Jonathan led a huge effort in that completion of that document. And it's there on our website. And that's an improvement that's been implemented. Determining the criteria before selection, rather than go into the selection phase sort of completely open and not having an idea as to what we're going to look at, what our criteria will be, we've done three things. As I just mentioned, the job description, in consultation with the board, we have a document on quality and skills, and we have board guidance that we received from the board as to what kind of criteria they're looking for. And that's not binding. Neither is any other SOAC sending us guidance binding, but it does help us basically try and keep our eye on the ball of what might be required by a particular slot we need to fill. So, do we do SurveyMonkey? Do we do basically ratings or do online stuff, or do we do actual deliberations online? Another thing we think, as I mentioned earlier, we've implemented is in-depth face-to-face meetings for deliberations. We're going to get at least one this year. We think there need to be two during this phase, but obviously we didn't have the money. We were using existing budgets, and so we did at least get one. I think that's a big improvement, and thanks to staff for that. So we're going to take the time to know and discuss each candidate. We're not just going to cut them off because, a monkey survey gave them a figure of 3 and, nobody actually thought that they were useful. We've been surprised by some of the candidates who basically, have come up and said, well, this is me, this is what I do. And then we'll said, when did you apply? Well, last year. We don't remember you. Well, that's because, that happens if you don't actually sit down and look at applications face-to-face. And so we're going to make a deliberative and thoughtful selection in this process. So hopefully that's an improvement. We are doubling the recruitment capacity. So there will be 2 recruitment firms. Again, thanks particularly to Joette and staff and Xavier for being able to make that happen. This is a big plus. We're not just going to have 1 recruitment firm, but 2. And this helps also because there's going to be long-term strategic planning for a pool of options in firms. So we won't just have 1 pre-approved firm that we can either select or not have anybody. Every year, we're going to have a pool from which we can select and say, well, I think this firm and these 2 firms are going to be useful. And that RFP process is going to begin post 26th of March. So I think that going into and helping every year and next year will be helpful, both for recruitment and assessment. We keep hearing from everybody the NOMCOM is a complete black box. You have no idea what's going on. If I apply to the NOMCOM, what ends up happening is I don't know what's happening. I don't know if I've been selected. I don't know if I've been going through the hoops in different stages. They never don't tell me. And I hear from other people that they've been called for an interview. I hear from other people that selections have taken place. So what we've changed this year is that we are going to give greater transparency in communicating with candidates. Candidates will be given status at various stages of the process. There's a committee that's going to meet, and so we're going to have different communication to different candidates at different stages, letting them know, okay, you've gotten through this stage or not gotten through this stage, so that they don't keep waiting to fly to Panama and not know until afterwards. So know your customer. I mean, these are the people we're appointing these selectees to. This improvement, I think, is helpful. We decided to have some trainings this year in Abu Dhabi and here. I think an excellent interview training took place. Again, thanks to staff for making that happen in a short period of time. I think it was probably one of the best interview trainings we've had so far. So we're trying to train us, because not all of us are, you know, professionally individuals who interview folks. So that was very helpful. Trying to make sure that we give our customers better service. Confidentiality, about maintaining the confidentiality of our processes. Board governance training, what is a not-for-profit board and how its governance is done. And the training on what each ACNSO is. You know, I mean, the person coming from the CCNSO may have no idea how the GNSO works, or vice versa. So it's important that we understand who we're selecting to. And this is what HP mentioned earlier. We had a problem where what used to happen is the due diligence would happen after our final selection. So assume we're at Panama and we've made our selection. We all fly out. We've made our final decisions. And then it goes for due diligence to legal to see whether this person has lied, whether he has a criminal background or something else. Now, what happens if we find there's a problem? We're never going to meet again. No one's interested. Everybody's busy doing other stuff. And so that stalls the process. We've had that we've experienced that before. So this year, our timelines are very tight, is because we decided we're going to do due diligence before people get to the Panama interview selection meeting. So that then when we select our candidates going out of Panama, that's final. It's done. We don't need to do any further work on that. And it's ready to be communicated as announcements. So due diligence prior to selection, but obviously that means that the timeline is very tight. I mentioned this earlier. We had a Nomad website. It used to keep changing every year. That's not going to happen anymore. We are static on nomcom.icann.org. And we've hard-coded, and this was in answer to a question made earlier, seeking guidance from ACNSOs and the board within our operating procedures. Tell us, please, every, and this happened the first day we met in Abu Dhabi, we were birthed. What we did was we asked staff to send out a communication to each one of these organizations to ask them, hey, not that it's binding, but tell us, what would you like? How can we help you? And the other thing we think is an improvement this year is complying with the bylaws, at least in the view of the folks this year, and this may change next year, who knows, that, you know, there's a distinction between those who are term limited, those are basically the delegates who are voting, and then there's those who are term unlimited, you know, they can be appointed as many times as they wish, and they are non-voting, and they're liaisons, just like on the board, they're directors and liaisons. So obviously the term unlimited liaisons can participate, they can deliberate, they can suggest, they can recommend, all of that. But the voting delegates are the ones who get to make the final decisions regarding any one particular candidate passing through any one particular stage. So that's something we think has happened. We'll also be, one of the things we heard from some of the candidates who'd applied in past years was that, you know, I don't understand, just like somebody stood up and said, what is the NOMCOM? I don't understand what it is and what it does. So we're going to have sort of a documentary video explain what the nominating committee is, its instructional, its orientation, what our expectations are, what your expectations can be from the nominating committee, and what our improvements have been in the year. Now, this hasn't been done yet. That's why I'm not saying it's implemented. That's why you don't see that written up there. But this is something we're going to do in the coming months. Another point was made by some candidates who went through the process saying, I think what you're doing in Africa and Asia and some other places is you're using networks which are, held hostage by certain existing networks and incumbents. You need to really get through the grassroots and use alternative networks to get your message out so people don't feel that you are going to select from the same pool or the same network. So we're going to do that going forward next year as well. And that's basically it. That's the last slide. And if there are any questions on any of this, we're done with our presentation. Any questions? Stefan?
Thanks, Saeed. Impressive amount of work. Congratulations to you all for getting that done. A couple of questions. First, on the additional meeting that you're having, which I understand the cause of which is a technical problem, which led you to decide to meet face-to-face rather than depend on phone conversations. I understand the rationale for that one, but I ask myself and you, why be here then? Wouldn't it be more productive not to have the NomCom meet here, where, as far as I understand, you're not doing any specific work towards your selections, and concentrate on that meeting, which sounds like a very important meeting for you to have?
I completely agree. I think that's one of the thoughts we did have. We did consider that possibility. And I can tell you a lot of us were going to be here, number one. I mean, there are a lot of people who practically do fly to these meetings, so that's one practicality, and you've heard that before. There have been times in the past where the nominating committee hasn't met at a particular meeting and decided to have what we would call out-of-cycle meetings. We noticed that from last year's experience, when HP did a lot of work, and HP, and obviously the NomCom supported HP, there's no doubt, but his outreach to the community at the ICANN meeting last year at this stage led to a surprising barrage, is what you call them, increase in applications and EOIs at that time. So there is value to the nominating committee and the outreach they do when they come to these meetings. And I don't want to say too much, but you know, you'd be surprised how many people who you outreach at the last minute who then apply and then actually get selected. So there's value to that, and we didn't want to lose that value, number one. We've been able to use our existing budget to have that meeting. And let me clarify, it wasn't just a technical problem that led us to decide to have a face-to-face meeting. I think, and if Jonathan, you'd like to come in on this, you're the one who came up with the idea, and we agree with him, that you can't do this sort of serious exercise of board recruitment, because that's how it's done usually when you recruit board members, especially anywhere else in the business, that you meet together, you really deliberate. A two-hour, three-hour con call can be extremely challenging to get that kind of result. At least that's the view that we took this year. Thank you. Jonathan, then Sandra.
I think it's... I can claim responsibility for that, I guess. My experience with the IRT some years ago, and of course when I was on the board and the chair of the meetings committee at the time, I instituted the first face-to-face meeting there as well. It's when I looked at, as a newcomer, what we had to do and the time frame we had to do it and the number of applications that there were, it struck me as extremely unlikely that a series of 4 and 5 hour phone calls day after day for 3 or 4 days would result in a fair ability to assess and discuss the applicants who deserve better. There's no point in going out and encouraging people all over the world to come and apply when the way you set it up makes it very difficult to give more than a few minutes, if that, to each candidate in many cases, and most of them are forgotten. I know from experience that this kind of thing, when you're all together and you review things together and people can speak right there face to face, every single one is going to get looked at and every single one's going to have a fair chance to be considered. And I felt that was our overwhelming responsibility as NomCom members. We're lucky this year we're able to do it within budget. It was a secondary issue that previous NomComs had experienced some technical difficulties with telephone bridges. I'm assuming that could have been overcome. I never thought that was the real reason. I mean, it may be a contributing factor. So that's how it came about.
And this basically is quality of service. We want to be able to provide the best quality of service on considering candidates, particularly for some serious positions like the board. And when we do that, Sandra, did
can
you
I
want
just,
to speak before
just
Stefan?
Just one thing.
So yeah, Stefan, go ahead.
Follow up on what you said. I understand the rationale once again. I do think you want to be careful about speaking to the quality of past NomCom recruitments, especially committees that
did things maybe differently or for different reasons. What you're doing this year is taking that part of it very seriously, and I think that's very good. I don't think it means that in the past candidates were looked over too quickly. I don't think we can infer that.
Okay, well, I didn't intend that inference to be drawn. It is simply, as a new person, I looked at the task and felt this was a better way to approach it, and the community or the committee agreed. I have no idea how it was done in the past, whether it was acceptable or not, but I certainly feel from my experience that this is a very good way to do it that ensures fairness to candidates. That doesn't I do not mean to insinuate that the past was not necessarily fair.
And just to add, I mean, of course, me and Hans Petter and Damon have been on previous years. Of course, with you, Stefan, as chair of 3 years straight, there's no question that there was excellent work done in those years. We're not knocking that in any sense of the word. We're trying to look at how and places where we can do improvement. And given the fact that every year it's a very tight window, improvements by every year can be only targeted in certain areas. This was one area we took sort of seriously, as you rightly said, and we said, well, what's the best we can do here? How do we get this to move forward? So it has no aspersion on previous years, but we do really think that this is an improvement. We'll see how it goes, right? It's not as if this hasn't happened before in many years ago, and we'll see how it goes this time. Thank you. Sandra and then HP.
I pretty much agree with what has been said, especially with regards to the work of past NOMCOMs. I was one of those who were not really happy about an additional intersessional meeting, because when I committed for this NOMCOM, I committed to three times travel, not to four or five times. But I'm pretty much open to see what the intersessional brings. I do believe there is a value in that, but I think we will have to learn from this year's process and see what value it brought and reconsider it for the next year. Stefana, as you mentioned, we might consider skipping this meeting, not the NOMCOM not coming here, and Zahid partly already gave you an answer on it. I would like to, and this is actually what I wanted to say, I would like to give you another perspective. The NOMCOM is pretty much closed in the last meeting, in the upcoming when they made the selection, and is pretty busy on the first meeting when they are seated. So actually, this meeting is the one where we have the best interaction with the community, and I think this is not only for outreach, but also to understand what's going on in the community and what are the needs. So I was actually one of those who opponed to skip this meeting and say, okay, we are saving money in order to have the intersessional, because I think a NOMCOM which is too much disconnected from the community, what is by nature sometimes the case when we are taking the decision and when we are really closed in closed rooms, I really think this meeting is in particular an important one to meet the community, to know what's going on, and not only under the impression to do outreach, but also to understand what's the need. So thank you.
Absolutely agree with you, Sandra. I just want to say, well, also, I didn't want to miss the beach here either.
Yeah, no, I want to echo Stefan here that we're doing changes this year, but that's to improve things, not to say that past NOMCOMs did not do a good job. Of course, as a chair, there is always things I want to have done different, but that's the way it's always going to be. There are lots of bigger changes that can be done to how the NOMCOM is operating. And I think it's very important to recognize that we now have a review going on, and that giving input to the reviewers and to the review process, how we can make the NOMCOM work in a better way, I would say, such as appointing the chair-elect half a year earlier so that he can actually start to prepare for the first meeting more than just some weeks before. And there are things that can be done in the larger extent that could make this different, better, I don't know. But I would just sort of highlight the NOMCOM review process as a sort of a way to make the suggestions for really big changes.
Yeah, Zahid, you asked me to ask plenty of questions to liven up the meeting, so I'm trying to do my best.
I said you can't speak. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Just one thing I wasn't clear on that you mentioned earlier on the non-voting liaisons. You said they were not taking part in the final part of the process, which has always been the case before that. Mm-hmm. So what's the change?
So to be clear, and sorry, it's going to be a long answer, so just bear with me, Stefan. You can sit down, exactly. So I'll take you through our process. The first part of the process is we get the applications, and we will be doing that SurveyMonkey thing. I always say monkey survey, apologies. SurveyMonkey, where we're going to basically look at these applications that have come in, and everybody will do their own subjective at home, sitting in their laptops, rating of those candidates. Previously, that used to lead to a number, as you well know, of a mean or a median, depending on which way we wanted to go, of deciding, well, there's a cutoff, after which anyone who falls below those ratings can only be brought up if somebody, you know, brings them up and says, hey, we didn't look at this person. So we've stopped that. We're going to have that mean and median. We're still going to do that rating, but that's not going to lead to a cutoff. All those people will then, on a call that we will have, so let me just add what's going to happen. And in that process of that rating, since it's not outcome determinative, the non-voting liaisons will be able to actually rate those candidates. So we will see those ratings just like my rating or HP, not mine, but anyone else's rating, because we don't get to do that. Then the next stage is there's a call, an online call, on which we go through the candidates and say, well, is there anybody for this candidate, a seconder and a proposer and a seconder? That's a very low bar, right? So you really have to be terrible not to make that one. But there are some applications which are either not failed or whatever else, and they will be eliminated at that stage. And so at that stage, anyone who's a non-voting liaison can suggest a candidate. For instance, although they can't propose a second, they can say, we forgot this person's interesting, and they just need two people on the committee of 15 voting members to say, yes, propose and second. And then we go to the intersessional. Now, when we get to the intersessional, of course, there will be a large number. We've not whittled them down too much. And that's the intent this year, to give the highest the greatest consideration to the highest number of candidates we possibly can. And at that intersessional, what will happen is, like every year, and this is all public, this has been in our assessment documents that have been public, we will be running our candidate selection process, which is that every single candidate will be looked at, will be discussed, and in that entire process, the non-voting liaisons will be discussing, deliberating, providing their input, etc. And then we will do a straw poll. The straw poll is non-determinative, so if the non-voting liaisons want to sort of raise their hand, say this is what they think, that's great. We get to see that. It's open. Everybody knows who voted for whom, and we have a result. But then we run the gambit again, this time doing it with actual votes. This time only the voting delegates get to vote. So through that process, the liaisons are involved. And we run that cycle 1, 2, 3 times, depending on how we want to do it. Sometimes we're going to do it on a slate, whatever it is. But those are the cycles. We will end up with a small number. That number will then go to deep dive, which means that members of the committee are going to be put into teams of 2 or 3. And those teams will be given a task to look at 6 or 9 candidates who they're going to deep dive. They're going to not only Google search them, they're going to look at their applications. They're going to call up their references. They're going to call up the candidate themselves and have an interview with them over the phone. And the liaisons are part of that process. And there will be recommendations made, and they are free to be part of that process. Once those recommendations have come in, those reports have come in, we will have a second notional intersessional, albeit this one won't be face-to-face because we don't have the money to have a second one. And this will be done in shorter calls because it's fewer people, so it's easier to do. And obviously, we've looked at these people pretty hard, so the quality will be much better. We can do this over the phone, we hope, like we've done in past years, of course, as Stefan, you know. And in that, we do the same thing again, where we have, you know, everybody deliberates, we have the straw poll, we may have deliberation again. And in all these processes, the non-voting liaison is involved. And then you have the actual sort of final vote to say, well, are these selected to go to the next stage? And in that, the non-voting liaisons are not involved because we deem that to be a vote. And then you have an even smaller number of people who then are invited to the Panama meeting if they're board members for interview. And if they're not board members, they're in a smaller slate that will be discussed in Panama for the ALAC or the CCNSO or for, you know, GNSO, for instance. And that smaller number goes to due diligence by ICANN Legal. They do that process to make sure that there's no outstanding, you know, criminal complaints or whatever else that the due diligence does. We get the result. We come to Panama again in that process when the interview, all the deliberations, the non-voting liaisons are going to be involved, absolutely recommend, suggest, propose, all that discussion. Then we have the interviews, part of the interview process, asking questions, probably leading on some of those aspects. By the way, they can be chairs of any subcommittee they wish to throughout this process as well. And then when the interview has concluded, there will be discussion, again, part of the process. They can discuss, et cetera, recommend. And then there's going to be the selection or the voting. And the same process as previously defined will again happen where the straw polls take place. They get to be participating in that discussion, participating in that. But when that final vote comes to go to the next stage, that's when only the voting delegates get to vote. So that hopefully gives you two things in response: what our process looks like internally, and also where they are involved and they are not. Thank you. Any other questions? Oh, excellent. Welcome, Amir.
Amir Kayum from Pakistan, previous NOMCOM member. I can see nice changes coming in the NOMCOM based on the review also. Two things I would like to know about. First is that have you built some institutional knowledge that we were talking about, that NOMCOM, the current NOMCOM, gets some benefit from the past experience of the previous NOMCOM, maybe in a very limited term? And secondly, you have not talked about the PTI board. Maybe you are not selecting this time, but will be selecting in future. Thank you.
So I'll take your last question first. Yes, we are not actually selecting PTI board members this year. There are no slots for that, so that's why we're not discussing them. Next year, Damon's going to have that difficult task, so that'll be fun. For one, exactly. I mean, again, it's still a separate cycle, and so it adds a amount of work and things like that. That's why I call it a difficult task. But to answer your first question, I think that since you were there on the previous NOMCOM, you would note that a lot of the things we've just discussed as improvements, a lot of them were discussed in last year's NOMCOM as things that people wished could be done to improve the NOMCOM process. So they're not, you know, neither HP and myself nor Damon came up with these wonderful ideas on our own, albeit the intersessional sort of thing. We thought it would always be useful, but Jonathan sort of led on that and came up with it. So it's really been over the past 3 years. I'll give you a simple example. You know that from our recommendation, this is public, we've always said we want to have more than one recruitment firm. We've recommended that, and it's just never been possible until this year for to make that happen. So most of what we've done shows you an ability to be able to evolve, albeit slowly, but we're evolving. A lot of changes have happened this year, so that evolution has been a little faster, but I think hopefully we won't break it because you're going too fast. But yes, those are not because of situations only this year, but we've learned from last year. So that hopefully will continue in the form of the chair-elect, who has institutional memory from last year, and those members who are new but will come back next year, who will continue this following year as well. Now, as it were, what can we do to improve this even more? There are proposals out there, and we'll be probably providing input to the independent reviewers and the review of the NOMCOM itself to say that there are ideas about whether the NOMCOM delegates should have more than 1 year as a term, maybe two. Should the chair have more than 1 year, possibly two? How do we make sure that we can have a set of rules that can continue from 1 year to the other to give sort of consistency? And there are two views on that. You will hear the ESSAC, for instance, say that the rules that apply to our process should be community built and made. You'll hear others say that, no, the NOMCOM should make its own rules. Both are both legitimate views. We'll see which one prevails. So that's the sort of the ideas about how to make this sort of progress through the years. I hope that answers the question. HP.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what Sahid said, that NOMCOM does indeed have some institutional memory. it's a bit dangerous to go around and say that we don't have. We have institutional memory on processes. Everything we do process-wise is public and handed over, and each NOMCOM that I've been on for the last 5 years have started with the previous NOMCOM's procedures and then made improvements. Of course, you could discuss whether the procedures should be set by another entity and the community and so on. That's not within the NOMCOM's realm to do. We're working within the bylaws. So if you want to change that, talk to the reviewers or make comments to the review report when that comes out, so that such thing. When it comes to candidate, we don't have institutional memory. And that's something that can be discussed, but you need to realize, and I hate to mention that word in this room as well, that there is a certain part of the world that's introduced some new rules about privacy, saying that you may not be able to keep those data from one cycle to another anyway without the consent of the candidate. So I didn't mention the GDPR word here, but that applies to this as well.
And also just to say, if you read our operating procedures, you'll get in the operating procedures at Article 4, it says clearly that in the handling of sensitive information, the nature of the NOMCOM functions activities requires confidentiality for some information, and it says such as deliberations. So while we're building processes, that deliberation is confidential, but once our processes have been sort of decided, then like the operating procedures, they're public and they're available. Every year is available on the website. And so that becomes part of institutional memory. Mark, you had your hand up.
Just to point out for the record, I don't believe that the selection process you've described in some detail has actually been approved by the NOMCOM yet, although we had extensive discussions on it yesterday. And it's changed even since then, much for the better, I would say. But while we develop these processes every year, it's so cuckoo that we can't discuss it with the public because these are considered deliberations. So I'm actually surprised to hear you describe them now as because they're still in the draft status, and I thought they were confidential until approved, but what do I know?
I won't. Not necessarily the case, but anyway, maybe Damon, do you want to mention something?
No, I mean, I think that the process that was described today was approved in the Abu Dhabi meeting.
Any other questions or comments? Any questions about the slots that need to be filled or anyone who's new? We're now at 4:30, so 32, 15, 10 minutes to go. Maybe we can close early, therefore. Sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. We're over time. So, okay. Thank you, everybody. Alejandro, please.
Hello. Hola. Bueno, solo 10 segundos. Quiero aprovechar a que estamos en Puerto Rico y que muchísimos de ustedes hablan español. Quizás alguien que esté que vea el recording, la grabación luego y quizás después los que estén viéndolo también en línea. Pero básicamente quería invitarlos. Se queda muy poco tiempo, hasta el 19 de marzo. Pero invitarlos a que por favor entren a la página de NOMCOM, apliquen, llenen el formulario. Es bastante sencillo, por lo menos la parte de interés que tiene que manifestar cada aplicante es muy, muy fácil y muy breve. No les va a tomar más de 2 minutos y después quizás con tiempo pueden llenarlo calmadamente, ¿no? Eso era todo. Gracias. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm really glad you did that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time, everybody. And hopefully we'll see more applications. Thank you. If you have questions, please come to us. Thank you. Bye.